Now we're good to go.
Perfect. Amazing.
Hey you, and welcome back to the Mood Lab. It is already the mid of March. How incredible is that? I sometimes cannot wrap my mind around that. Because with the podcast, I feel like I'm always counting, you know? I'm always like, okay, there's one episode which is a conversation, and another one that is a conversation, and then there's another one that is a conversation, and then there's a solo episode. And so I'm like in this rhythm, going and going and going, and it feels like just time is passing by so quickly. But I feel like we all feel that way. My mom was just asking me that this weekend. She was here, which was so beautiful. Yeah, it was literally me showing her all my favorite places where I always have my matcha cakes and my chais and my chocolates and all the stuff. And it was just so special to introduce her to my little world here. She was asking me if it only feels like time is rushing for her. And I was like, no, I don't think it's you. It's me as well. And because she thought it was something that came with age, but I feel like, honestly, it's just the fast-paced world that we're living in. But yeah, that's actually not the topic that we're talking about today, just something that happened to come to my mind in that moment. I actually have a beautiful conversation waiting for you. I'm talking to Nadine Krill. She is a social media strategist, content creator, podcaster, author, speaker, and mentor. And more than anything else, Nadine is dedicated to empowering women as they discover what it means to walk confidently in their identities and see heaven invade their reality. And it was such a pleasure to talk to Nadine. You will get to know her throughout the episode. She is just such a wonderful, beautiful soul, really. We talked about her testimony, her story, and some advice, thoughts that she had to share for new believers. We talk about singleness and not wasting the season, exploring our gifts, and yeah, just using that time to grow and mature, and also about not losing ourselves in the pursuit of our gifts. And yeah, then we also headed into the direction of how we can trust in God's plan for us and his timing, even though sometimes, yeah, we can struggle with our human flesh, literally feeling like everything has to happen right now in the moment, and just getting really impatient with things, which is so human and so normal. So we talked about this as well. It's a really beautiful and lovely episode. I feel like if you're looking for something soothing, something that just fills you up, fills your cup, fills your heart, and brings you closer to God, closer to Jesus, then this is an episode for you. And if you're new to faith and have no idea who Jesus is, that is an episode for you as well. You're so welcome to listen. And yeah, so without any further ado, let's just dive right in. Oh, but before I forget it, please hit the subscribe button on Spotify and Apple Podcast and leave 5 stars. Obviously, as you know, that changes everything. And yeah, and share with your friends, because that makes the biggest difference. Hi Nadine, I'm so happy to welcome you to the Mood Lab. I am so excited for our conversation today and just to hear more about you, about your story, all the things that I see you talk about online as well. We are going to dive into some of those. So I'm really excited, and I would just love if you could start with introducing yourself so that we can get to know you a bit.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Karina. It's an honor and a pleasure. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Nadine. I'm 25 and I live in SoCal. So kind of living the dream, but not really, you know, trying to figure everything out with life. But I am a social media strategist, content creator for other companies for my 9 to 5. But my passion and my heart is really just helping women figure out their identity in Christ and what it means to live life to the full that he came to offer. So yeah, I do a little podcasting, speaking, writing, like Karina said, all the things online. So yeah, that's me.
Actually, that's so beautiful, because I feel like I could give you a similar description about myself. And I think maybe that is what like draws me to your content. And like I shared with you in the beginning, before we even started recording, how I find it so relatable what you're sharing, because I myself am also in marketing 9 to 5 and have that heart though for, yeah, just sharing with women my experience and also my journey that I embarked on in the last year that has brought so much into my life and I'm so passionate to talk about since then. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I would love, because we are going to talk a bit about, well, faith and other things related to that. But I would love if you could share with us, because I actually don't really know how you came to faith. Have you been growing up in church, in community, around people who already believed in Jesus and God? And how was your own journey in that, if that was the case already? Because obviously, even if we are brought up in church, it doesn't really necessarily mean that we grasp or understand what people around us are talking about. And we all have our own individual journey. So I would love if you could take us into that realm a bit.
Yeah. So also feel free to cut me off if I end up talking for too long, because I'm still trying to figure out how to tell my story in an online space. Because I actually did have a longer testimony video up on my YouTube for a while, and then same with my podcast. But after talking with some of my family members, my brother specifically, it's like, hey, maybe it's not wise for me to have all of these pieces of my story out on the internet for just anybody to see. So all that to say, I'm kind of still figuring out how to tell that story, but I did grow up in a Christian home. We were actually Catholic for the first, I want to say, 7 years of my life. And then we switched over to a non-denominational church, honestly, only because it was closer to our house is what I think happened. So I was a part of that non-denominational church for most of my childhood years. I was baptized when I was, I think, like 9 or something. So really grateful that the Holy Spirit planted that seed in me and that I was not able to kill it, because I definitely tried during some of my high school years. I think I experienced a little bit of, you know, we throw around the word church hurt, and it does happen because people are human and we're all imperfect. And I think for me, the biggest pitfall of my faith was not understanding the Bible. And so I kind of read the first couple chapters of Genesis as a fairy tale, and then Revelation also read as a fairy tale. So it's like the whole middle part could kind of be a fairy tale too. Who's to say? And I mean, even as far as I tried to run away, I always felt that kind of little tug from Jesus at my heart. And so I started coming back to him in college, and then I got into a relationship that really wasn't for me and or healthy for him, honestly, you know, toxic. And then we broke up, and I was crying so much that I literally couldn't listen to any songs on the radio without crying. And I was like, Mom, what is happening? Like, every stupid song out there is a love song. I hate this. Life sucks. And she was like, well, just try to find one type of music that you can listen to without crying. And for me, that happened to be worship music. And now it's ironic, because really the only songs that I cry to are worship music, but really started coming back to him. And it was a slow reintroduction. I think now with TikTok and everything, we see people who have like that immediate fire, and they're like, I'm laying everything down for Jesus. And honestly, that wasn't really the case for me. I was still trying to be both in the world and in the church, and just kind of like tiptoeing back and forth, sort of like a slow dance. And then he fully got my heart during COVID, because we were locked down and it was just me and him, because I lived alone. So yeah, that's when he fully got my heart, and when I was like, okay, Jesus, you can have every single thing. So yeah, that's kind of been my faith journey, and I've been following him since then. And it hasn't been perfect, but it has been, I want pure. So not perfect, but pure. Like, I love him so much, and he is my everything. And so yeah, that's kind of my journey.
That's beautiful. I love what you said there, that, I mean, yeah, we see online maybe that someone finds Jesus and like gets closer to him, and then it's like all of a sudden and everything is like, life is completely changed from one day to another. But I also think what you said, there is so much importance in telling stories of, hey, this is a slow transition and maybe seeds are planted and people need time. And I also, something that I heard someone else talking about, but I also felt myself, is there are moments where you can grieve a person that you've been before, even mm-hmm. though the person that you're now, you love so much, and you love so much that you have this relationship now and that you have God, and you're so grateful to be chosen, but still you're grieving parts of you that you've been. And I think that is something so important to talk about, and to know that that is okay, because it's just different layers and versions of ourselves. And in every version that we've once been, there are also beautiful parts, even maybe maybe we've been actually struggling in that moment, but we maybe also had some good sides to our life or to our like just daily routine or things that we did that we enjoyed. And I think that's something so important to bring up. And also when we are living a certain kind of life and then we have this, I don't know how to call it, like this revelation of there's God, there's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then we have to sometimes, I mean, it takes time. It took time for me for sure to adjust certain things in life because they're just so in there and it's kind of like the daily routine that is done. And for me, one of the things also was, and I think this is maybe something so small, but I had like those tarot cards lying around and those incense sticks, and I felt like I didn't want them anymore, but it was also like you used to like them like a couple months ago, and are you going to throw them out? Like, what are you going to do with them? And honestly, for some of the things, I haven't found solutions yet, but it's just there is a transition happening. And I think, so I really love that you touched upon that. I think that is so important. And it kind of also goes in line with what I wanted to talk with you about as like one of the first things is like, are there any things that you, any advice that you would want to share with new believers, people who are new in faith, or even maybe people who've only so far have received the seeds basically and are still like trying to find their way? What are some things that come up for you that you would share with someone who is like pretty new?
I think it depends on what they're walking through, but my biggest pieces of advice are, number one, get in community, because you really can't hide things when you're being open and honest and vulnerable. I think number two, and honestly, this should be number one, but just in the way that my brain is working this morning, you really have to view your relationship with Jesus truly as if he is your first love. Because if you think about it, when you're in love, you want to be with the person all the time. And I mean, there's definitely times when you want to have alone time, because otherwise it could get to be codependent or whatever. But this is literally the one who made your soul. And if you want to experience everything that Jesus has for you, then you have to be with him. And I think being gentle with yourself and learning what his voice sounds like. So going back to like what I said in the beginning about reading your Bible and really taking the time to understand it. I personally love the Bible Project. I don't know if you've heard of that, but I'm a visual learner. And so it's been awesome to be able to like physically see sort of what stories in the Old Testament are specifically. And then, you know, watching The Chosen. And I feel like every Christian has watched The Chosen, but if you haven't seen it, it's awesome.
I started.
Yeah.
But I must say I'm very sensitive when it comes to graphics. And so for me, it's like I have to go through it during daytime and like have enough space before I would go to sleep. Cause it is like there are some parts which are a bit like, let's say, darker in the way that they are.
Absolutely.
And also like the music, but it makes for a great series and the content is amazing. But I have to like take it slow with that. But I started because I thought everyone's watching it. I just want to see it too.
So I just think it's really well done compared to how other Christian media has been in the past. But so get in community, read your Bible and really understand what it is to love Jesus. Because if you're fully in love with him, then you won't just want his benefits, but you'll want him. So like not just the blessing, but just like his presence. And I think being gentle with yourself too, it's everybody's first time living. And just knowing that his voice is never condemning and it doesn't ever bring you guilt. Like he'll convict you. And so that's a little like, hey, maybe I should leave this practice behind. Or maybe it's not kind to my body to like be going out and drinking every night, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I think that is so important. I'm just wondering, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but in terms of selecting a community or knowing that you're in the right place, do you have any thoughts on that? Because I feel like, as you said in the beginning, it can easily happen that you're in an environment where it maybe isn't as healthy, because obviously we are all human and we have our own framework and our own ways of doing things, even though sometimes we don't even mean to do anything, let's say, wrong or not as healthily, it can still happen. So how would you go about selecting a community or knowing, okay, this is the place that I fitting into, or because it just feels right, I guess?
I think a big part, there's gonna be a lot of parts to this answer, but I know that our generation is super big on faith over feelings. And I think that also disregards the feelings that God has given us, and they are beautiful and they can be a good marker of, hey, like, does my body feel safe here or does it not? I think that's a big thing. And then also just being prayerful about it, just being like, God, I trust you to bring me to the right people and to bring the right people to me. Now, that does mean you're going to probably have to leave your house because we can, because it's not COVID anymore. But I would say just trying different churches in your area and then, you know, finding a small group and then just sticking it through for a semester. If it's something where you're like, well, I don't know, but their teaching is sound, the people are really kind and welcoming. If there's something that's holding you back, I would say maybe just try it and then also pray through and be like, what is it about this that's maybe making me uncomfortable? Like, if you have experienced church hurt and that's what's keeping you from joining a church again, like journaling through it and just trusting that God is the healer and he is a communal God too. So he wants community for us. So I think just sticking it through and trusting him. I don't know if that's like good advice, yeah, but, because it sounds super generic, but truthfully, in the past couple of years of my life too, ever since I've given my life to Jesus, I've seen him come through in community in ways that I couldn't have even imagined for myself. Like, even my roommates right now, I met them at a photo shoot and they're both believers and they're amazing. And I didn't see myself living with them, but then God said, hey, this is what I have for you. And it's better.
Yeah, I think that is. No, this is like beautiful advice, actually, because I think, yeah, this part of, hey, you can trust your feelings as well. You can trust if you feel like this is the right place for you. And yeah, it aligns with your values. I think that is like a good indicator. And I think it's also that thing, you're leaving better than when you came there.
Yeah. And I think I forgot to say this too, but you become like the five people that you spend the most time with, yeah, is like saying. And so look around, take inventory. Who are the five people that you talk to on a daily or weekly basis, and who you are around when you're not maybe in work, or even when you are at work? How do you feel when you're around them? What are your actions like? Are they more like Christ or not? And then being like, okay, well, I know these people in my life and I'd like to be more like them. So then surrounding yourself with people who you want to be like.
Yeah, I think that's perfect, because I feel like when also going into, let's say, having a Bible study or being in a small group, as you mm-hmm. said, you can also look around and be like, would I want to become more like those people? And that can be such a great indicator of judgment. And obviously discerning, is it just because I'm not ready yet to become like them? Because mm-hmm. in the end, actually, they are great people. Could also be something within us, right, that holds us kind of back. Mm-hmm. But then really taking that discernment and looking, okay, are these great people? And would it be helpful to be around them? And do I feel great around them? And even when I'm challenged, because obviously we can get challenged by situations because we are maturing, we are growing, and things are, we're discussing things or talking about things that maybe hold up a little mirror in front of us. And it's like, oh yeah, yeah, maybe I should work on that. And I think that's so important. A week ago, I had a situation where I was at church and after we would go to dinner. So I have some sort of allergies and things that I cannot eat. And I was put in a situation where I really had that feeling of what I experienced already when I was a kid, because I already had intolerances back then. And I would often leave myself out of going with people mm-hmm. to a dinner place, or I would be excluded by the people back then because they knew I wouldn't eat those things. So I had that history and in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that's obviously deeply rooted in who I am. And it kind of creates a part of who I am and creates my personality in some mm-hmm. ways. And I had a situation where then I was like, oh, now all the people all of a sudden are going to a place where I cannot really join them. And I really had to like battle with myself for a moment of, okay, how I'm going to deal with that. And I noticed that this hurt was rising up about that situation. Mm-hmm. And there was a particular person who actually kind of, in my view in that moment, initiated the whole situation that, oh, we're not going to the place where I could join them, but now we're going to the place that this person wants to go to. I was really proud of myself when, because I mean, I've been working on my communication for so long, so that after, I mean, I withdrew, I took my time for myself. I thought about it. I thought about what I experienced, and I also took it into my prayer, and I just spent time with myself and with Jesus, and just was reading scripture, and I actually had a lovely evening by myself, which I think I needed in that moment. Yeah. And the next day I was able to communicate my exact experience to that person who felt like was sort of part of what feelings arise within myself, just to then get the answer back, oh, that was absolutely not what the person was trying to do or was intentionally putting into action, basically. And I think having those experiences and creating new patterns in that way, because we understand, hey, when we communicate about things that can be so helpful and so healthy, it's just something so beautiful. And yeah, I think that's such a beautiful part of our growth journey, understanding ourselves better and getting to know each other in those ways and being vulnerable and open with each other on our journeys. I think that's something so important. You also talk about singleness on your Instagram and also on some podcasts that I've jumped into. And I think that is such a beautiful topic because I'm in my single season as well.
There we go.
And I think it's just something that I love talking about because so when I met Jesus last year, mm-hmm. I had this calling of, I think I need to be on my own for a while, for sure. Like just being with him. And because there were so many things that I needed to figure out in terms of how actually the Bible views certain things, how scripture views mm-hmm. certain things that I've previously done differently or society was telling me to do differently, even though I wasn't maybe feeling them exactly as society was sharing me to do certain things. But still it was like, okay, I need to figure this out for myself. And I feel like I'm still in that season.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful season. And I think a lot of times, and before I found Christ, I actually had so many years of where I was literally trying to find my person. Like it was such a search for that person that's supposed to be with me. And it doesn't work that way. And it's obviously, you always notice that, but then you do it again because people are like, oh, go on the next dating app, do this, do that, and go out there, be out there. And it's just like, well, it doesn't really work. So, and it actually hurts me more than it serves me. So I think, I just love this so, so much talking about that. And I would just love to hear your thoughts on single season and how it's not, I guess, a wasted season.
Well, first of all, I just like, I'm not an expert on singleness or dating or least of any of that, like marriage, obviously, because I've never been married. But I think something for me that has always been grounding, because I know that you said something about dating apps and all of that. And I just personally, I spend all day scrolling, right, for my job. And I'm sure you do too. And just looking for what's next and what's better. And I don't want to look at a human like that. Like thinking that you could be better, what's next. And I think also for me, the way that I've gone about dating is just looking at who's around me and kind of evaluating that as well and looking at who's around that person. And I think that can be good advice. But then also back to what you said about, you know, being single and getting to know Jesus for yourself, 100%. Like do that. Get to know what your rhythms look like with Jesus, what a healthy love looks like. I think the world honestly is not good at showing us what healthy love looks like. And, you know, where it's never going to be 100% healthy because we're not in heaven yet and heaven hasn't fully come down to earth. But, you know, what does the Bible say about what love looks like? And what does it look like for me to love my friends really well, for me to love my family really well, for me to love my coworkers, for me to love this person who's annoying me a lot really well, you know, because you're not going to love, or you're not going to be not annoyed by your spouse 100% of the time, right? Because we're all human. And I think just with singleness and not wasting that season, you're never going to be as free as you are when you're single. And my church has actually been in a relationship series for the past couple weeks. And this Sunday, the pastor who was speaking was like, oh, well, when you're single, you have two. But then when you're married, you become one. It's just like a change in perspective. And, you know, we've been just talking a lot about that in our small group as well. And just, I think figuring out your purpose, and obviously all of us have the same purpose. It's to love Jesus and go and make disciples of all nations. But then it's like the how. Does Jesus want me to fulfill that purpose in this season? And just figuring out what your giftings are and how to cultivate and steward those really, really well. Because that's also, I think, going to play into, you know, if you are desiring marriage, I hope and believe that that's something that God will fulfill in your lifetime. And because he doesn't withhold any good things from his kids. And marriage is meant to be a picture of how God loves us, how Jesus loves the church, and then what it looks like to actually walk with God. And so I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think, sorry, I'm kind of all over the place with my answer right now. But I think also just something that has helped ground me when I'm looking at, okay, well, would I want to date this person? Am I in the right position to date right now? Has always been like, I'm not going to make compromises because I want better for my kids. Because I think God always sees things generationally. And that's been the biggest shift since I've seen in my perspective since actually following Jesus. And so if I'm like, well, I could compromise here and go on this date with this guy because he's cute, but I don't really see it going anywhere. And he's like, yeah, but how does that really serve like long term? There's that perspective of it too. And I think, yeah, just figuring out what my gifts are. What does the Lord want me to build right now? And what can I build right now that I'm single? Because my time is mine. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think so it's
all over the place.
No, it's good. I actually really like, because you drew up on something that you said earlier. And so basically I feel like when we're not having, and you said that earlier, when we're not having Jesus or God as like our first love, then, and we are in this world the way that a lot of the world is around us, we often put that person that we are with on that pedestal, and and that man that we are with then becomes that person that we kind of look up to in that way, and we don't have God to anchor ourselves in. And I think when that happens, we have such a hard time, even when we know that this is not the right person to be with and this doesn't lead us anywhere. It's actually not the father that I envision for my children, because in my body and in my soul, I know that this is like not a healthy pattern that I would want to pass on to my kids, or I don't actually feel safe myself. So how would my kids be safe? And this person isn't living up to the standard that I need to have for growing my kids, basically, and for educating them and making them into, or yeah, creating them into beautiful human beings with like a good heart. I feel like, yeah, if you don't have that, it becomes so easy to attach yourself so much to that person that you cannot really find that way out. And if you have Jesus as your foundation and you're with him and he's your first love, I mean, you have such a good foundation to be like, okay, I'm going into a direction with someone right now that's not right for me. And I'll be fine because I have Jesus. I can say like, hey, we need to communicate about this. Isn't working for me. And I'm not going to be lost and like floating around in nothingness because I have my anchor. And I think that's something so important and something that I've experienced myself in the past months, really, that foundation, how strong that is, how beautiful that is, and how important that is. Because before I was in this beautiful relationship and having Jesus as my first love, I would also struggle with that so much, and also constantly filling that void, right? You're trying to fill that void, which you cannot really fill with a person in that sense.
I love what you said about how you're trying to like constantly fill that void with a person, because I think ultimately, no matter what season we're in, we're always going to be longing for something. And that something is the longing of our soul for Jesus to come back. Like, whether or not we know it, whether or not you follow Jesus, your soul is always longing for it to come back to its original state, which is to be with God. And right now, like, that's just not the reality. Like, Jesus has not come back yet. I mean, hopefully, because then we would be left behind. So I think, just with that, like recognizing every single season, there's going to be something that I want more than anything else in this world, almost. So like recognizing, okay, what are the idols in my heart right now? Like, what is sitting on the throne of my heart? Because ultimately, only God can hold that weight, and only God can hold that space. Because if we try to put like Jesus expectations on a guy, or even on a friend or on a job or what have you, like, they're not going to be able to hold that weight because it wasn't a weight that was meant for them. So I think just, it's a daily sort of thing, being like, okay, God, like, I'm going to pray for my future, for the thing that I want. And I'm going to trust that when we follow you, when we love you, like, you will fulfill the desires of our heart, because our hearts are being molded to be more like yours every single day that I'm walking with you. And just kind of trusting that, you know, what he has is better. And so just thanking him, like, thank you, God, that you have given me this desire and that you're showing me how to steward it right now. So yes, I want to be in a relationship. Yes, I want a kid. Yes, I want that degree. Yes, I want that job. Yes, I want this, that, or the other. And so like, how are we getting there? And how are we bringing sort of like a Jesus perspective into whatever it is that we're wanting and waiting for?
I mean, we can use that time so wisely and really nurturing those traits within ourselves, right? We can nurture within ourselves that we are, good at relational things, like how do we relate to each other? How do we communicate? We can practice all of those things and become great at them by ourselves too. And just with that, obviously with that desire, one day I wish that I can, or I hope that I can apply that in my actual relationship, even though we don't fully know. But as you said at some point in our conversation, that I also believe that if we have that strong desire, and he's not gonna withhold something so good for us. Mm-hmm. And if he has a different plan for us, that's also something that we'll need to accept. But it's still, we can work on ourselves in that way with him and grow into that person that way more likely is very suitable for a relationship and has, I guess, a better ground to build a beautiful relationship with someone else. Because I mean, since we are also human and all have to learn a lot of things on this journey, it can only be healthy to really work on ourselves until we get there, and really easing that season for that good. I think that's so important. Something that just came to my mind, and it's still like in that realm in some sort of sense, is, I mean, I don't know how much you're surrounded by non-believers. What I find is, especially for me as a fairly new believer, there are so many voices around me, just people that are either in my friend groups or just people that I stumble across, or even my family, who do not have the same belief that as I do. And especially when it comes to relationships, there are a lot of opinions in society and things like purity or wanting to like really pursue something like a relationship way more slower than maybe the, I don't want to say, but typical person, I guess, is like something that people look kind of weirdly at you. And it's like, are you sure? Like, and it's always this like, you should test drive a different kind of person and you should do all of those things. And I feel like that is something that I wasn't even that aware of how much that is in the general conversation. And I always knew for myself personally that a lot of the things that I was told in like the society that I was living in, I didn't agree with. But I still like try to follow some parts of those things to just kind of do like right by the societal standard. And when I, so this is actually so funny, when I started, well, it's not funny, but it's like for me, I found myself when I was starting, when I started reading the Bible, I was like, oh, this is me. This is how I feel about this. There that is. And it just felt like, oh, this rings so true. And it was like a deep, like breathing out. But just like getting back to my question, like, are there like any things that you would say, or any advice or any thoughts even, if you're in those environments, like, do you just listen to them and be like, okay, you just talk and I'm doing my thing? Or, and do you feel like it's sometimes if that happens, it gets to you? Or I don't know, I'm just curious because I feel like I'm like right in the middle of that right now.
So I think it's funny because I had literally just had this conversation a couple of times yesterday with some of my friends. And so I was saying, since moving to California, which is very ironic, I think that I have the least amount of non-Christian friends that I've ever had in my life here, because my bubble is Christian. And I think that's not necessarily the way of Jesus. Like, if you saw, right, he was constantly sitting with people who didn't know him, who didn't believe in him, but who wanted to know more. And so I think with all of that, there's no 100% right way to go about interacting with the world. I think just leaning on the Holy Spirit and listening to his voice and what sort of like your discernment is saying in that moment. I think for me, what I've learned is always to go slowly and to create a safe space for people to ask questions and to wonder, hey, like, why doesn't she, you know, like have a mouth that's like a sailor? or why isn't she sleeping around? Like, there are some seasons where it's been harder for me to be in the world and some seasons where it's been easier for me to be in the world. So, like, let's say somebody who is freshly – do you guys have AA in Germany?
No.
Like, Alcoholics Anonymous?
So, oh, I don't know, actually. I know about it. I think there must be similar things that we have, yeah. Probably.
So probably. So basically, like, if there's somebody who's freshly trying to get sober, the smartest place for them to be is not to be in a bar or near alcohol. But that doesn't mean that, again, in their life, like, they're never going to be able to go out to a bar with their friends or, you know, go to dinner and, like, have a friend order a glass of wine in front of them. But that's where the discernment comes in. Like, hey, is this wise for me right now or not? And then also just in general, I don't tend to offer up my opinion unless people ask me, right? Like, it's different if I'm in a Christian space versus in a worldly setting. My friends who don't follow Jesus, they know that if they ask me for advice, all of my advice is going to be rooted and grounded in scripture. Like, I'm going to be gentle and loving about it. I don't really, my personality is not that of someone who's confrontational, who's going to be loud and in your face and be like, I'm correct. I know the end all be all. Like, yeah. I know the Bible and I know the Bible is true and the end all be all, but that does not mean that I am not human and infallible. And then also, I think something that's super important when you're in the world is to make sure that your actions line up with your words. Because I think that's the biggest, almost not like excuse, but kind of a non-believer to be like, well, Christians say that their God is loving, but then all they do is preach hate online. And I'm like, yeah, that's confusing. And our God is not a God of confusion. And so I think there's kind of like two parts to your question almost, where like, what do you do if you're in those environments? It's just, you know, bear the fruits of the spirit, love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Probably missed one in there, you know, and just be a light in those situations, because the whole point is to go and make disciples of all nations, to go and tell them, hey, there is a hope beyond, you know, your consumerism, beyond this relationship, and it's eternal. And his name is Jesus, and he made you and he wants to get to know you. And then acting, you know, in your identity as a daughter of God. So being, you know, firm and secure when things aren't, I think is really, really helpful. I think often back to when I was on the phone with my dad a few months ago and he and I were talking and he was like, is there anything in your life that's stable aside from your faith? And that makes it sound like I'm really unstable and not. But I was like, no, dad, there never will be either, because honestly, the only thing in my life that I'm sure of is my faith. And like even that, being able to be a light to your family. And I think just being a safe space for them to come and ask questions. Like, I have people that I love very dearly that do not believe in Jesus, that, you know, are very much in the world, you know, on the LGBTQ like spectrum. And it's like, okay, what would Jesus do if he were me in this situation?
Yeah.
And like, how do I do my best to bring heaven into my reality right now? Like, what is the most loving thing I can do? And that doesn't mean that you say like, hey, yeah, I think it's a good idea that you like sit in this, but then also reading the room, right? Like, is it wise for me to offer up the truth right now? Like, and praying and believing that there will be a door that the Holy Spirit opens for you to plant that seed, because God is bigger and he's sovereign and ultimately he's the one that decides all things. So yeah, that's my advice. I don't know if that answered your question at all, but.
No, I love that answer. I think especially that, yeah, that part of literally being, what I gathered from it is like literally being true to yourself and that faith that you're in, mm-hmm. and standing the grounds of that. And yeah, that sometimes can be hard, especially if it's like around people maybe who've known you as like a different kind of person before. I think that that is something that I've been experiencing. Not that I wouldn't, I feel like I'm really good at standing my ground because I'm very convicted in with what I believe in, and I'm very strong in that. And I feel like I've always been like that with anything, mm-hmm. and now even more so. But it's still like a very nuanced space, or almost mm-hmm. like, I don't know if I can say soft space, something that is like, it feels sometimes very tense. Yeah, it's very delicate. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. A delicate space to navigate to, for me especially, was that part of, I didn't want to overwhelm anyone with my personal journey in terms of being like, okay, this is the new version of myself, but also I felt like I've changed so much, so mm-hmm. I cannot be that old version either. So I think there is like a very delicate space to navigate that. Yeah.
And like, if you have a friend that, so for example, I personally won't go clubbing. Like, that's just not something that I'll do anymore. I just don't like those environments. I've tried, and I'm like, every time I'm like, no, I actually hate this. It's not.
I get you. Like, I've actually never been into clubbing. I've tried many times because it was just the environment that kind of drew me into that, or it was almost like it felt like necessary. But yeah, I get that.
And so, like, if there's a friend or a couple of friends that, like, you guys, like, would only go to, like, the bar, like, this is just an example. If somebody's listening and they're like, well, what do I do? Because I can't be in these environments, but I don't want to not be a light to these friends. And I care about these friends and I cherish them deeply. And it's to that I would say, of course, like, so an example of what you could do instead is saying, like, hey, I actually don't want to go to the club, but I would love to, you know, grab coffee with you or go on a walk or, you know, maybe we could go see this movie together. Just offering up different options, because then that also creates a relationship and you're saying, hey, I care about you as a person, not necessarily the activity that we're doing, type of thing.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. We always have that opportunity to also kind of, I guess, influence and shape the relationships that we are in and see, okay, what do we like about the relationship that we are in, the friendship that we are in, and how can we maybe mold it into something that works for us but also works for the other person, and we still have that time with each other, which is very valuable, I think, if we communicate. And we touched upon this before, I think that is something that is so feasible and can be so beautiful. Yeah, I would love if we could go a bit more into that part of, okay, exploring our gifts and our passions and purpose and all those things. And I think you said that already earlier of, obviously, we have that purpose in Christ, but then we also come with different personal gifts and things that we are good at. And how do we discover those, or how do we feel like, okay, this is our path to take? And how does that work for us?
Okay, so from what I have experienced in life, because just from my point of view, I think it's a culmination of a lot of things. So you have your community, people who are going to speak life back into you, and people who can call out the things that you're really good at. Like, hey, you're really encouraging. You're really good at cooking. You're really good at creating environments where people feel welcome. You're so good with numbers. Not me, personally. Nobody has ever said you're so good at math, but some people are.
Yeah.
Spending quiet time with the Lord. And I think something else that he's been teaching me lately is, hey, what did you love to do when you were a child? Like, what if you, you know, had a safe, hopefully, like, loving upbringing, or at least even as a child, things that you did love to do? And then how could you bring them into your life right now? So, for example, me as a kid, I really loved, like, talking to people. And so doing that kind of now in this space, or I loved scrolling on Instagram, but I was like, I can never make this a career. Like, what do I do with this? But, you know, now I do work in marketing. And so that's been awesome. And just even, okay, I've always loved the beach, even as a kid. And now I live by the beach, which is so cool to see that God cares about the details from when I was a kid. And, you know, just praying. And if there's something that you do want to be able to do, and I'm not talking about like flying or anything, but if you want to be able, you know, to grow in your gift of like discernment or prayer or whatever it might be, even like, you know, creating environments where people can come and gather, you know, pray into that and ask God to give you opportunities to be able to grow in these gifts, I think is a really good thing. And then also just in general, I think I feel like most believers have come to this, at least recently, sort of not crisis of faith, but almost being like, well, I just want to leave everything and just go into ministry. And it's like, where your feet are is where your ministry is. Like, you can be a light right where you are. And that's not saying, you know, don't go into vocational ministry, but also don't forsake where God has you right now. And don't miss the opportunities that he's calling you into to, you know, be salt and be light and to go and make disciples. And because ultimately, it's not that God so loved Christians that he came and sent Jesus. It's that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And people need to know. And the way to let people know is through our gifts. Like, what is it that sets your soul on fire? Because that's what's going to fuel you on the hard days. That's what's going to get you through tough seasons. And, you know, they may shift, but that's where your relationship with Jesus comes into play. And that's where your community comes into play, because they can be the ones covering you in prayer when you're going through a rut. Or, you know, they can be the ones to be like, hey, like, I'm here for you. I can help carry your burdens. And they're going to be the ones to champion you when you're on the other side of things too. So
Yeah,
that's kind of my advice with that.
Yeah, I really love that. I feel like for me, that has been such a big shift. Yeah. So for the last couple of months, because before that, so I mean, this is already a bit longer ago because I wasn't really in that for, I think now like 2 years, maybe around 2 years, but I was like very big in the manifestation realm. And I did only notice at some point, and in the beginning I didn't notice, but that it can also be very harmful, because I was always kind of in that mindset, and people pushed me also, so it was like from myself but also from others, to be in that mindset of, so you just note that down somewhere and it's gonna happen. And it always felt like I was so behind everything, because things just wouldn't happen the way that I wanted them to be, right? So it just felt like a battle that can only be lost in some ways. And now that in the past couple of months, it's just been so beautiful, I do notice that I do have things to work on, in terms of that sometimes I wish things would just work out faster. I think
that's a human inclination, though.
Yeah, like, that's like
have that thought.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay as well, but I also do want to work on that impatience in some ways, because then if I have those, when I have those moments where I let go of that a bit, and then it's just so beautiful to then notice those moments where someone recognizes something within you, gives you a little opportunity, and maybe it's not even something that brings in any money or whatever, or is like career-wise, but it's just something where you can apply yourself with something that you are good at. And I think that's been such a gift for me in the past couple of months, because it also helped me to see certain areas in my life where I'm recognized by others and where I'm really good at, and that I now can include into my prayer and being like, hey, I don't know what this is going to turn into, but I know that this is something I can do. And I mean, God knows as well. So whatever is going to like come out of this, I'm so like, I would be so happy to just like follow into that direction if it's in your will, God. And that has been just so beautiful. And it's such a relief, honestly. I feel like for someone who, like me, has been in that space of like, this needs to work out, this needs to work out. And I'm now deciding that this is for me. But yeah, that's not how it works. And so I think that is, yeah, it's so beautiful to have that opportunity to kind of have that rather exploratory approach almost to it, right? And just seeing what God puts into your path, and then you can obviously still with your free will see, does that work for me, doesn't work, and obviously probe and test and all of those things. But yeah, so I think that's so beautiful. I think you actually wrote a post on that, but when we are pursuing our gifts, we can also, if we solely focus on that, I feel like we could also potentially lose ourselves in that pursuit and lose sight of things that might be more essential and more important. I would love if you could speak on that for a moment.
Yeah. So I think all of that really comes back to identity. Yeah. And so if I'm strong in who I am, meaning that like if I'm connected to Jesus, if I know that I'm a daughter of the King, like that God made me and he wants a relationship with me. And I know that's a harder concept to grasp too, if anybody's listening and they don't have a good relationship with either of their parents, but especially their dad. But then just like also as an aside, you know, ask God to continually show you what it looks like to be his daughter or his son. But I think, again, it's just making an idol out of anything. Like that's something that humans can do so quickly and so easily, because we can physically see what the gifting is bringing us. Maybe it's bringing us more money or more, you know, praise or more friends or whatever it is that's more of that we can physically see versus God right now. We can't physically see him all the time. And so I think just holding the Brooke Lidgerwood kind of gave this analogy, and I love the analogy where she's like, yeah, when people praise me for my gifts, I kind of collect them, and I'm going to mess it up so bad, but this is a SparkNote version where she collects each compliment kind of like a rose, and then at the end of the day, she gives the bouquet back to God. And so I think it's more so about a perspective shift, that the gifts can be great, but then like knowing, okay, am I reading my Bible in order to get a post for people to like it and to comment, to share and to follow me? Or am I sitting with Jesus and being like, people need to know. And it's okay if it just reaches one person. It's okay if it was just for me. But
yeah.
And I know that one of my giftings is to be able to create community and to speak about Jesus in a way that maybe does relate with just one person, because that's something that he's showing me in the season. And then the next season, it could be something completely different. And just, I think, holding the gifts with your hands open and holding it like it's delicate, but it's not the most precious thing in the room. So I don't know if that's good advice or bad advice, yeah. But I think just recognizing that the gift is that's what it is. It's a tool to get people mm-hmm. to closer to Jesus, whatever yeah. it is. If it's math, that's awesome. Again, yeah. can't do math, but you know.
I feel like I resonate with that. It's beautiful to put it in that way. I feel like, because I already touched upon that for a moment, and it really fits with that as well. So in all of that, and you just said, like, if your gift is math, and if it is this, so this is something I feel like it's already kind of there. So God kind of already gave us those gifts and provided us with something that we are good at. Mm-hmm. And that obviously also leads into and leans on God's plan for us, because that is obviously, I mean, in my understanding, part of that bigger mm-hmm. vision that he has for us, bigger idea that he has for us. And so when we are in seasons of, let's say, the in-between, in seasons where things, they are forming some sort of shapes and things maybe are moving in some sort of ways, but it just feels like we can't understand it in that moment. How do we and how do you trust in God's plan? I would just love to hear your perspective on that and in his timing, because as we're off this world, like we said already, we have that impatience. We have that, okay, I wish this would already be like that. And we have that, obviously, there's so much of the world telling us to strive for a certain amount of money that we would need to have as an income and all of those things. And yeah, how do we trust with our life, basically, trust his plan, trust his timing?
I think one of my favorite stories in the Bible is in Joshua, where somebody from all of the 12 tribes, like each of them grabs a stone from the Jordan River because God split it so they could walk across it. And they built an altar and they like stacked these stones and they were like, now from generation to generation, you're going to look at this physical altar and tell them, this is what God did for you. Like you passed through the Jordan on dry land. And I think that's where community and just even keeping a journal comes in so handy. And just if you look back through your life, you can kind of see people in the world right now love calling it the invisible string theory, where you can kind of see an invisible string linking all things together. And I'm like, you're so close. Like there's a string and his name is Jesus. But I think just having, you know, a journal and just people around you to be like, hey, like this is what God has brought you through in the past. Like he is not going to fail you this time. And I know for me, there are certain like gauges in my life where I'm like, ooh, my soul's not really healthy right now. And that tends to happen when I start to worry about the future. And so what that means for me then is that I need to have a Sabbath. I need to be listening to more worship music. I need to be in my word more, praying more. And I think also just being honest with God. Like we can be honest with him. Like I'm having a tough time trusting you right now because this is what my reality looks like. Can you please open my eyes and show me what your reality looks like? And that's another Old Testament story where the enemies were coming in. And then I think it was, I always get Elijah and Elisha confused because their names are so similar. Elijah was like, okay, Lord, like open his eyes and let him see that there are more for us and against us. And I think, yeah, just being like, God, I know that this is not going to look like what I think that it's going to look like. But even speaking those words of truth over yourself, because there's something that happens in your brain where you create those new neural pathways, and even just speaking words of life and being like, Lord, I know that what you have for me is better. I know that you have plans for me to give me hope in the future. And I know that future is good and that you can truly turn all things around. And I think just like looking for him in the small things and not like, yes, looking at the big picture, but don't try to get yourself to the end point. Yeah. I think for me, what I try to do is like, okay, how can I get here the fastest? But just walking with him every single day and just staying in the present moment is also helpful. So
yeah.
Those are tips.
But, yeah, it's like it's a day by day pursuit, and it's really mm-hmm. in those small moments that make the biggest difference. And honestly, I must say, I feel like over the past couple of months, I've never lived my life as I do now, obviously for obvious mm-hmm. reasons, but also just through those small things like being in a Bible study, going yeah. to like a dinner party, because we have like, instead of small groups, mm-hmm. we have dinner parties, which is something so beautiful. And it's just those sort of moments where I'm around community. And I think that's also the big string that has like been flowing through our conversation, it's just so helpful, and so many things and thoughts happen in those moments that sometimes when you look back on just your, like, just 1 week or a couple of days, mm-hmm. you feel like, whoa, a lot of things were going on in the past yeah. couple of days. And I think that's the beauty of it, to know that, I mean, we are constantly changing anyways, right? Nothing in life is stagnant. So it's really beautiful when we can allow ourselves to take those small steps. And it doesn't even have to be a step forward, really. It's just a step. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, just trusting in that, and trusting that just by taking those steps, we are directed. I think that helps so much. And I feel like yeah. I put that beautifully right now. Just really, yeah. I was like, that was a good way to put it. Yeah, that's so beautiful. Yeah, honestly, I really, really love talking to you, because I feel like, and this is exactly, and I said that in the beginning as well, but I feel like that's exactly the person that you're also portraying through your social media. And I don't know, maybe you hear that very often, maybe you don't, I don't know. But it's truly so beautiful, because it's relatable. And you have such a beautiful calmness about you. And I think this is something that I find as well very, very beautiful, is that before you spoke a couple of times, you always said, okay, this is my perspective, this is what I have experienced. And I think that is something that we all collectively can do way more often before we speak, to discern that this is just me being human and this is my experience. And there's, in many ways, there is no like non plus ultra, black and white, this is going to work for everyone and this is how it's supposed to be. Because like you said as well so many times, and I so agree, like, we're human, like, we have our like things that go wrong, we have our things that we just communicate not so well, and we miss words. And I mean, for me as well, not being born an English speaking person, basically, and having English as my second language, there could be a moment where I maybe misuse a word or something mm-hmm. like that, and just being like, hey, that's so okay. But just knowing that about ourselves, and being like, I know that. And so I'm not trying to like push anything on anyone, but just being yeah. very, very, very mindful in the ways that we are, and that we communicate, and that we behave and are around people and in community. I think that's mm-hmm. something, yeah, so important. So I just wanted to yeah. leave that here.
Thank you. I think yeah. a lot of that too, how you said, I don't want to push anything on anyone. Like Jesus, he always said, come and see.
Yeah.
Like he invited people, he drew away from the crowds, and they were the ones who followed him because his life was different, and your life will speak for itself. And then when people ask, like, be prepared to tell them, you know, yeah. this is the gospel and this is the good news, and I'm imperfect, and that's not an excuse to not live a holy life, but it does yeah. show us how badly we need Jesus, even when we're in his family. And just being like, yeah, in my weakness, like, he's sufficient for me. Like his grace is made his power is made perfect in my weakness. Like all the things, and I can do all of them with Christ in me, but not just as like a bio on your Instagram, but just yeah. as a way of life. And so also, you're doing an amazing job as not being a native English speaker. I feel like an English speaker, I'm doing a worse job than you are, but no. You just have such a joyful presence, and I'm so excited to see what God continues to do in your life, because I can't believe you've only been following him for a year, because the wisdom yeah. that you're speaking is like now someone much farther along than that. So keep doing
it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's actually not even a year. It's been in August.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful journey. It feels like years, honestly, mm-hmm. because so much has happened and been going on since then.
Yeah.
And just like I guess I'm in this phase and season where just that discovery brought so much joy, and mm-hmm. just knowing that God knows me and that I can have a relationship with him. And also today I was just listening to this song. I think it's called, the song is called Jehovah. I don't know if you know that song, but yeah. it says like, so basically God is like, he can heal. He's your healer. He's your provider. He is like, he is basically everything for us. And it just makes me so insanely happy. I can't even express the joy that I have. And that's also, I think, the way that I've been like going through the Bible and going through his word with that intense joy, mm-hmm. just to understand and learn and dive deeper into knowing him, because like, as he knows me, I just want to get to know him more and more and more over time. And yeah, that's just been such a beautiful and blessed journey. And it really, that's why it feels like such a long time, which it isn't. It's been in a way that it's been a longer journey for sure, in terms of that seeds were planted. I had certain encounters and certain moments where I would call out to him, and when I was like in a very low phase of my life and or in low moments, and I would even like journal. So my whole journal would be like more about the universe, but then there would be this one thing where I would feel the most pain about, and I would direct it directly to God. And I wouldn't really think about it much, which is so interesting. It was just there. Yeah, but then it really only came together, and I think he was like, okay, I think you're ready now, you know, you're like ready to get into this relationship now and to get to know me better. And I think I was in that moment, and that's when he called me into prayer, and I have not stopped since then. And then that's just been such a blessed journey, and I'm so grateful. I feel like I would be so sad if I wouldn't have this experience right now. And I mean, I wouldn't know it, but it's like I'm just so happy that I can have this experience, and that I can be one of his people, and yeah, and know him, and know that I am one of his people. I guess that's more like accurate way to put it. Yeah. I would love, as one last thing, is there one thing, and we talked about so many things that we can put into this question, but is there one thing that you wish more humans would know about and that touches you deeply?
I think just how much freedom there is in Jesus. Like, you don't have to look one way or the other when you're following him. Like, there will be certain signposts, right? Like your joy and your peace. But Jesus cares about who you are individually as a person, and he doesn't necessarily ask you to lay down your whole personality, just your life, which are two very different things. And so he's not going to ask for your journey to look exactly like somebody else's, but he does promise that there's life beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. And so, yeah, I just think I wish that I knew that everyone knew how great the freedom is. Yeah. And yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. That's a beautiful note and word to end this episode on. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me and sharing your light and your love for Jesus with all of us, really. And yeah, feel so blessed to have been able to talk to you.
Right back at you. Honestly, it's been such a joy, and I'm so grateful that you had me on.
Thank you.